Welcome to the American Classroom Podcast, where we explore how K-12 education shapes a thriving civil society. Today, we're diving into a compelling conversation about economics education with Carrie Montano from the University of Arizona. Through a unique partnership with Heritage Academy, U of A offers a dual enrollment course that blends economics, ethics, and entrepreneurship, giving students a well-rounded foundation for real-world success. Carrie has played a key role in developing the book Commercial Society, A Primer in Ethics and Economics, a curriculum designed to make complex economic principles accessible and thought-provoking. In this episode, we'll explore how this program came to life, why it's making such an impact, and how it equips students with critical thinking skills for the future. Whether you're an educator searching for top-tier economics curriculum or someone passionate about preparing young minds for success, this episode is for you. Let's get started.
My name's Jared Taylor, and we're glad to have Carrie here. Hi, Carrie. Nice to see you again.
Hi, glad to be here.
Well, economics is a great topic. I know you love it, and I love it, and I don't know why we were talking about why it's called the dismal science, because it's super fun.
I agree.
When I go to the beach to relax, I read economics books. I'm that guy.
I don't do that, Jared, but I do love my economics story. So
That's right. We are sponsored by Heritage Academy, which is a partner school of the economics program. And it's just been a success. And we wanted to share the story of this program. So if there's other people listening, other governing board members that are looking for a higher quality economics program or school leader, then they can learn a little bit about what we're doing here and maybe it's for them.
Great.
Before we get into the program, Carrie, let's have our listeners learn a little bit about you and the program itself. We'd love to hear the story about how you got involved and how the program came about.
Okay, Jared, I'm the special programs manager at the Freedom Center at the University of Arizona, and I've been there about 9 years. I started working on this ethics, economics, and entrepreneurship course. But before that, I was an economics teacher. And I don't know if you remember way back when economics was not a state requirement. So I was a new teacher, and none of the other social studies teachers wanted to take over economics. And I volunteered. So in the process, the University of Arizona had some courses for teachers, workshops, so that we could get up to speed and pass the state test. And Kate Johnson, who's one of the authors of the book, did some of those trainings. Kate was so impressed with the teachers, she decided that we should have some graduate level courses in the summer. And I attended those. I guess I am an economics geek, spending my summers in economics classes. And she was talking about us to her husband, David Schmitz, who's a political philosopher at the university, and he taught us a class. He also fell in love with the teachers, and they were thinking, you know, what can we do to help the teachers even more? And through the years, they came up with this concept of an economics curriculum that included ethics, and the entrepreneurship side came because Bob Lush, the director of the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship, sat in on one of Dave's classes and wanted to learn more about ethics. And he was so impressed, you know, they formed a friendship and he wanted to join onto the project. So we have 3 U of A professors who wrote the book. And it started out, I don't know if you remember this, in the first years, it wasn't really a book. It was an online curriculum. And when they workshopped it with a bunch of teachers, we said, hey, We need paper. We need a book to send home with the kids. This online stuff is great. So they put it in a book format and published it. And that was our first edition.
Yeah. Was it called Commercial Society? I know that's the title now.
Yeah. No, it was called Ethics, Economics, and Entrepreneurship. But it was self-published. And when they went to a publisher, they came up with Commercial Society, A Primer in Ethics and Economics. They dropped entrepreneurship off the title because they said it was too long. But none of the entrepreneurship section of the book was cut. It was just cut out of the title. And when they went to the publisher, they were also able to put in QR codes. So those QR codes lead you to extra video clips and podcasts that are related to the subject.
Nice. Now we're going to get a little bit into the topic itself and the class, but let's stay on the program. So when was that and how long has the program been up and running now?
I believe it's been up and running for 9 years now, really. Okay. We had a few classes the first year, and then the second year, I think Heritage joined. We had a couple teachers come to a summer class, and then Heritage has been growing. So, you know, we've added more classes that way too. And I would also say in the beginning, you know, it's a dual enrollment class. It meets the high school economics standard. And so, you know, the teachers, we used to have summer classes that they would come to for a couple weeks. And now we have an online course that utilizes the book. It's called The Ethical Entrepreneur, the name of the course. And that's what teachers do. The course is offered in the summer and in the fall. So we ask teachers to take that before they start to teach the class.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's good. And at Heritage, that American Classroom's affiliated with, we love the course. It's very concise. It asks very deep philosophical questions, which I know for our scholars that are on the higher end getting ready for college, they appreciate a little bit more depth in terms of the subject area, because that's what they're seeing in their other history courses. Their government courses, their English courses are all taught at the college level and, you know, somewhat at that introspective philosophical level as well. So this really aligns with the overall curriculum, you know, for a Heritage Scholar experience. And we've adopted it also with our Paul Revere campus, which is another version of what we do at Heritage, which is great.
Wow.
Well, hey, congratulations on the success. We'll have to celebrate 10 years when that comes around.
We're getting close. And, you know, I workshop pieces of the book before it kind of went into the classroom when I was a teacher. And, you know, some of the feedback we gave them was, please make the chapters very short. And they are. All the chapters, there's like 75 chapters and they're, you know, 2 to 4 pages a piece. But the reason for that is it's a higher level than a normal high school book. So you really want the kids to read it again, look for the vocabulary they may not know, and provoke them, give them some time to let it absorb. When Dave writes, and I read, you know, he wrote the kind of the philosophical side, obviously he's a philosopher, but he's asking the kids to think, what does your best life look like and how are you going to get there? You need skills. You need to be a moral person so that people trust you. And kids see that. They see it all around them. So they have their own stories that they can relate to, or maybe they're watching the news and they can bring that in. And it really brings for some good discussions that aren't your typical economics class discussions.
Yeah, and there's a huge need for that. And I taught the class. I enjoyed the short chapters with concise writing. I mean, it takes a skilled person to take a subject as dense as economics mm-hmm. and make it as accessible as what David Schmidt did, because those chapters are short. They're 2 to 4 pages, and we're not talking a lot of charts and graphs, although they do have those. And the supplementary material is excellent as well. But that is an accessible course for the depth that it goes, which is credit to you and David and all those originators.
Thanks. One of the things that was added on a few years into the class, we had a professor, Patrick Harless, and he made an accompanying teacher edition. It has, you know, it's very simple. It's not like your normal teacher guide. It has like an anticipatory set. It brings back from the previous chapter, you know, and carries it forward. It also has some activities that teachers can use that are maybe a step further from the topic.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's huge to combine the topic of ethics, entrepreneurship, and economics. I was in business school when Enron was a thing and everyone thought Enron was great and WorldCom and all these big giants. And then Enron fell because of the economic or the ethics. And I still remember I was doing a project and one of my peers in my MBA program was, he worked for WorldCom. And we were talking about Enron. He's like, oh, that was terrible. That's never going to happen. WorldCom's the best. We're going to just tear it up. A month later, there they go.
Well, you know, Dave tells a story about being an accountant. Why is this material important to someone like an accountant? All they're doing is numbers all day.
Oh, it's huge.
When you're doing the books, you're telling a story to an investor, to the business.
Yep. Yep.
And if you're not honest in the numbers, you know, people trust that you're being honest. They're making decisions with their money, with their lives.
Yeah.
And it is important that the numbers tell the correct story, good or bad. The people need to know, you know, and your name is your brand. If you're not trustworthy, people don't want to work with you.
Yeah. Well, at the macro level too, these philosophical questions that this book comes right out and poses to the young people, is it moral for someone to make a profit?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's one of the most profound questions of a young person's life, right? Because if they say no, well, then they're going to follow the economic theories and theses of Karl Marx, because that's where that question leads to. Otherwise, if it's moral, then you may be going down the Adam Smith route, which has produced the prosperity. And then he backs it up with just such good supporting material so that young people can really create what I call discernment in their academic life, so that when people argue one position or another, they really have those underpinnings to help them. So he does it in an easy to understand, and doesn't pigeonhole anybody. I really like it.
And, you know, you talk about Adam Smith, and Adam Smith would say, you know, we act in our own self-interest. Some people say, oh, that means you're greedy. Well, you have to be a moral person, an ethical person. When you're acting in your own self-interest, I have to feed my family. I have to bring home a check.
Right.
If I'm not providing a good service, if I'm lying to my customers, then they're going to choose to go someplace else, you know, use shoddy materials. They're not coming to you. So it's not being greedy to want to provide a good service to somebody so that you have the ability to make an income.
Yeah. And how he walks people through the logic and the logical fallacies that people have about that, and how Smith's real thesis is about service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fairly rewarded for that service. Is that selfish or is that service, right? Is it selfish for a mom and a dad to want to take care of their children and provide? No. And to do that in a way where you can benefit humanity? Why is that so evil? You know,
you know, and I know a lot of people have bad feelings about big corporations. But a good idea is how they all began, right? There was a good idea. They provided a service or a good that people wanted, and they've made money from it. You know, maybe how they spend their money is something to think about, but they were providing a service that people wanted and need. And so if they're doing it in a way that is ethical, you know, they're not treating their employees well and their community.
Yeah, no, that's great. And the supplementary material is outstanding as well. If any economics teachers or principals looking to get a first-class economics program in, this program comes with all kinds of additional resources above and beyond the book, which is outstanding. I remember the video that I think hit home with my scholars that I taught was the case study in China where they secretly introduced free markets.
Oh, right. That was amazing. The farmers?
Yeah, the farmers. Yeah. It was an amazing story about how in a very short amount of time, free market principles created this little bit of prosperity, and secretly everyone shared it.
And everybody was better off.
Better off. Yeah. Anyways, it's just super great. And I appreciate you introducing that to the Heritage family. But I think that also touches on why, you know, American Classroom is all about re-enthroning the ideals that made America great and the role that the classroom plays in doing that. And so that's why we wanted to visit that. Now, Carrie, do you have partnerships outside of Arizona?
We do have one school outside of Arizona. It's, you know, it's definitely possible to do outside of the state.
Okay, good. No, that's great.
You know, I remember one year we had in the beginning, there was a classroom that did a Shark Tank. And they got some help from Junior Achievement to come in. And so the Junior Achievement lady was, she ran a Shark Tank in the business class and then in this ethics, economy, and entrepreneurship class. And she said, it's interesting. The kids in the business class were more specific and, you know, looking at like how to make a business plan. The ones in the ethics and economics and entrepreneurship class, all of their projects were something that they thought was going to contribute positively to the world. That was one of the questions that they had to answer. And, you know, they came up with some really good ideas, like, you know, chewing gum, but it didn't have sugar in it. It used honey or something natural. And, you know, somebody had a drone project, and it was just really cool to see them thinking in a way like, how am I going to make the world a better place with my ideas? And I just feel like, I think it's really smart that they started the book with Dave writing, and he puts the questions in there, like, and he really tries to pump the kids up too. Like, this world is going to be better because you're in it. How are you going to make it better? What are you going to do? You know, you can't just show up one day. You have to be prepared. You need to learn a skill. You need to put some planning in, and you have opportunities in front of you. So it gets some thinking, pumps them up a little bit. And then, you know, you get into more of the straight old economics, you know, some supply and demand and comparative advantage and all that stuff.
Well, he ends on entrepreneurship. Let's touch on that, because, you know, that's the biggest upside financially for people. Plus, it just gives people so much ownership and reward, personal satisfaction, you know, when they have done something and created something, and they can look back and say, wow, look at that.
And, you know, it's important to understand entrepreneurship. Not everybody is going to go out and start their own business, but my first job was in a bank, and we had a guy in the mailroom. We had our headquarters in Chicago, and this mailroom kid would walk around to all the departments and pick up the FedEx envelopes and send them off. And he had an idea. He said, what if I collected them all and put them in one box and we shipped twice a day? And just that little idea, that was entrepreneurial. That was filling a hole. It saved the company a bunch of money, and he got, you know, a little extra, you know, credit for doing it, maybe a promotion along the way. But it's how are you going to fill a hole, make the world a little bit better, come up with a product or an idea, a service that's going to make people's lives better?
Yeah. No, it's powerful. There's just a lot in K-12 education with career technical education. And a lot of that training is for you to go work for, you know, go get a good job. And that's probably what's going to happen 9 times out of 10 right out of high school. You know, people do need to skill up, and that's a great way to do it. There's no question about it. But to take that next step, you know, and say, when I taught, there was a young man in the first row. He was in welding at a local technical at high school, and he wanted to run his own welding shop at some point. But he, you know, throughout the economics course, I just used him as a case study of how do you get this thing going and how does this actually work? And you could just see the lights go on. There was another young man who was into Web 3.0 very heavily. He had made $10,000 selling an NFT.
Jeez.
Of all things. And he wouldn't turn his homework in for like the first month. Like, come on, Mario, you know, you got to turn your homework in, or, you know, this is not going to be pretty on your, anyways. But once we started in on the course and the lights started to go on, I'm like, oh, wait, this is what economics is. This is, you know, and because I overlaid a discussion on the markets. And he was, by the end of the course, he was taking notes of everything. And it was, you know, when that's the scholars get past just the compliance and uh-huh. they like, hey, this is going to change my life. I'm going to write everything down that I hear. I'm going to keep this book. Can I keep this book? You know, go back into schools, but you know, maybe the copy that we're not using next year. Anyway, it was fun to see him do that because the lights started to go on, but
he saw, fun.
Yeah, he saw himself running his own business at some point.
I think in that entrepreneurship section, it's, you have your personal finance classes, you know, where you learn how to do a budget and save and invest. But if you're going to have a business someday, you need to understand how to take that personal budget and turn it into a business budget and a business plan. And there's lots of great ideas out there, but they don't all make it to market because people just don't know how to do the steps. And they just don't have the fortitude to stick it through. And I think Bob laid that out pretty well.
But there's no better country than the United States of America to give it a shot.
Oh, absolutely.
See, this is the land of opportunity. And there's a reason why that phrase is stuck for many, many years. So, well, Carrie, thank you. Congratulations on what is such a successful program. And we are grateful to be partners with you in this journey. If we have listeners that want to connect with you and learn about it, maybe have you talk about bringing the program to their district or high school, how can they connect with you and learn more about the program?
Well, they can reach me directly at my email, kdmontan@arizona.edu, or they can also visit the Freedom Center website. So we have other high school programs too. We have a personal finance course that is written by teachers for teachers called Take Charge Today. We have a summer entrepreneurship camp for students on the U of A campus in the summer. And then we also do some professional development for teachers. So we'd love for more people to join and, you know, give me a call.
The professional development's excellent. When we send our teachers there, they always come back really surprised and pleasantly so. So, and thanks for doing that, because you're not just handing a book and some curriculum over. You're really backing up the teachers, and that's meaningful.
I think when the course is a little bit different than others, you want the teachers to feel more knowledgeable than the students and to have read the book through as a student, you know, and be able to pull out the pieces that really stuck with them to make it better for their kids.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, as we're winding up here, is there anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners here today, Carrie?
I would just like to say, you know, I'm still, unfortunately, Bob Lush did pass away, but Kate and Dave, I just saw them last week, and they are just so excited that students are getting this information and, you know, are loving the class. It means a lot to them. And I just think it's a good alternative for regular economics.
Well, that's great. We agree 100%. Maybe we'll have to have on a future episode as well.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Carrie, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. And we look forward to many more good years of this partnership between Heritage and Arizona. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I love working with you guys.
If you like this episode, please like and share with someone who would find this interesting. We appreciate you listening to the American Classroom Podcast today.
Thank you.